السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. علماء الكرام, respected brothers and also brothers and sisters listening over Al-Ansar, we have been discussing the du'as of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam over a number of days, and today being the last day of Ramadan, so let us discuss one du'a which is a combination of all the du'as of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a very comprehensive du'a. I have discussed this in the past, but there are many others who are listening now, that we should be very, very grateful to Hazrat Abu Umama Bahili radiyallahu ta'ala. He did us a very great favor. He did the whole ummah a very great favor. Because just as many of us, after listening to the du'as over a period of time, we forget, we just listen to it, we want to learn it, but we can't seem to memorize them, we can't seem to remember them. Our memories are very weak. The Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them very strong memories. But still, as I explained on some other occasion, that certain things the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, were made to go through, so that the ummah that will come, there may be lessons for them. There are many things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did for the ta'lim of the ummah. It's not that it was his daily practice to do such a thing, but for the ta'lim of the ummah, that a certain thing is permissible. So just to show its permissibility, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did certain things. And certain things the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, they did, and then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam inform the companions whether it was permissible or not permissible. So amongst the many du'as that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught the sahabas, and all his du'as, the first recipients of his du'as were the companions, the sahaba-e-kiram were the first audience. So most of them, of course, learnt it, they remembered it, and that is how we have those du'as in the books of hadiths, and it runs into thousands of du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So many different du'as at different occasions. This really showed how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had the azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his heart. After Allah, he was the greatest. And he was the one who really understood what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's greatness is. But still Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, La ufsi sana'an alayk anta kama asnaita ala nafsik. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam really understood Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's glory, his greatness, his might, his power, his jalal and his jamal. So therefore you will find in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam du'as that there's so much of humility that he's expressing. Although Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had caused so many miracles to be performed upon his hands, but he never ever expressed any kind of pride. There was nothing but humility, as if there was a weight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azmat upon him. So therefore in his du'as you will find that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is pleading to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. On different occasions he's asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to bless him with this or with that. And on many occasions he's asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection against different kinds of calamities, azab, problems. Otherwise where was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in any fear of azab of akhirat? Where was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in any fear of azab of qabr? Where was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam in any fear of all the other azabs that has been mentioned in the du'as? That, oh Allah, protect me from this azab, that azab, that azab. That was for the ummah, it was for us. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was questioned, was told by Hazrat Abu Umama Bahili radiyallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Umama Bahili radiyallahu ta'ala, he was from Hims. And at the age of 91, he passed away. He was one of the last Sahabas to pass away in Sham or Syria. That time Sham was quite an extensive place. So he was one of the last ones, and at the age of 91 he passed away there. So he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving you an explanation of that hadith. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you taught us many, many du'as. But some of us didn't remember anything from those du'as. That means of so many different du'as, we remembered some of them we didn't remember. But the heartfelt desire of every Sahabi was that he should be able to remember the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, some of us did not remember. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, being rahmatul lil alameen, mercy unto the worlds, he had great love, great compassion, great mercy for the ummah. He just wanted to see every one of the ummah benefit, both in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirat. His crying was even for his enemies. Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la yaqlamun. He just did not want to see anybody go in the direction of the fire of Jahannam. Therefore he exerted himself. He burnt himself up. For whom? For the sake of the ummah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, informed Hazrat Abu Umama. I told him, he said, that shall I not show you one dua which covers all the duas of my life? Every dua that I made is included in there. Now what a great ihsan he made upon the ummah, Hazrat Abu Umama, that he questioned him and we got this answer. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught him this dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa a'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'aza minhu nabiyyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In one hadith it is musta'azaka, and in some other hadith it is just musta'aza. From Bukhari Sharif, which has been deduced, is Musta'aza. Now this is the dua that he taught this sahabi. Now how long does it take to learn this dua? Allahumma inni as'aluka. O Allah, I seek from you, I ask you, I beseech you. Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked of you, every kind of goodness that he begged of you, Ya Allah, I seek it from you. If we cannot remember the Arabic, then at least that mafhum we should remember, that O Allah, every good that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begged of you. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not leave anything that was of benefit to the ummah, that was of benefit to the ummah, but that he asked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for that goodness. Whether it was for the benefit of the family, benefit of the individual, benefit of the society, benefit of the ummah at large, whatever goodness, material, spiritual, everything you will find in the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. His du'as itself is a mu'jiza. You will find he has asked and begged Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for everything that would be of benefit to the ummah. So now all those du'as in which he begged Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for some goodness for the ummah is all covered in this first part. Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All that goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked from you, O Allah, I seek it from you. Now what a beautiful dua. In that first part, all the goodness is covered. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَسْتَعَازَ مِنْهُ نَبِيُّكَ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And I seek protection in you, O my beloved Allah. I ask you for protection. I ask you for security from. I ask you that you safeguard me from every kind of mischief or shar from which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sought protection. Now it covers every kind of mischief that we can think of, every kind of evil, whether it is jadu, whether it is seher, whether it is harm from the enemies, whether it is poverty, which makes the person even lose his iman sometimes, whatever kind of harm, the fitnas of Dajjal, the fitnas of wealth. Wealth is a very good thing in the hands of a good person, but the same wealth sometimes can take the person to so many haram places. So whether it is the fitnas of wealth or the fitnas of position and power, a person can be a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala whilst being a king and a governor and a ruler, and he can also be the bigger shaitan, causing injustice and tyranny and oppression because of that position and power. So whatever it may be, any kind of mischief, especially the Dajjali fitnas. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all those du'as of his in which he's asking Allah ta'ala for protection from this, protection from that. For example, we did that du'a, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik wa tahawuli afiyatik wa fuja'ati niqmatik wa jami'i sakhatik. Now all those things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asking for protection from. So we're saying, oh Allah, whatever my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection from, and he covered everything in his du'as, any kind of mischief, fitna, fasad, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah ta'ala for protection in his du'as. So we say, ya Allah, all the mischief, fitnas, corruption, fasad, whatever my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection from, I seek protection in you from all those things. Now how simply and beautifully he covered it in this du'a. All the goodness, oh Allah, bless me with, and all the fitnas and all the mischief and all the corruption and all the fasad, oh Allah, protect me from. Now it's already covered both things. If we have to expand on this, we can go on for hours. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, wa antal musta'an, meaning that, oh Allah, you are the only one towards whom we can really turn for assistance and help. Because whatever mankind may assist us, whoever may help us, it is all because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts into that person's heart to assist. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not put into that person's heart, then that person will never assist. Many people have had that experience, that when they had very high hopes that so and so will help me, but when they went there, that person refused to help. The one on whom they had very high hopes, he refused to help. And the one on whom they had least hope, that person, he opened up his heart and said, anything more I can do for you. How many people have had that kind of experience? So it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who is the controller of hearts. So first we turn towards Allah ta'ala. First we turn towards him, we beg of him, because he's the only one that we should really extend our hands before and beg. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then create the means. Then we make use of the means that Allah ta'ala has created. And we believe that it is Allah ta'ala who will put success in those means, or he will put failure in those means. The means which we adopt also, no way in the Quran Sharif or Hadith Sharif does it say that the moment you adopt the means, then you will definitely see success. Then you will definitely see the fruits of the adoption of those means. Nobody can show it anyway in the Quran Sharif or Hadith, that the material means which we adopt, that the moment you adopt it, you will see the results. You will never find it anyway. Yes, it is the duty of man to make use of those means, but if Allah Ta'ala wills, then he will see the fruits of that. Otherwise, it will be failure. For example, a person, he gets married. Why he gets married? He says, well, I want children. So marriage was the means. Now he got married. Now does it mean that because he got married, definitely he will get children? That is in Allah Ta'ala's hands. If he wishes to give, then he will give a dozen children. And if he doesn't want to give, he won't even give one. In Gujarati, somebody asked one lady who had half a dozen children, one crawling, one walking, one running. Said, Kitan. So ask the husband, how many children you have? He said, ek chalta, ek hapalta. One chaltu, hapaltu, dortu, nautu. One is crawling, one is walking, one is running, and one is coming on the way. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants, then he can give any amount. So adoption of the means is something that we can do, but it's not necessary that we will see the fruits. A person eats for what? So that he gets health. But it's not necessary that after eating everyone gets health. That same food, the same fruits, the same meals, the same meat, two people are eating on the table. After eating, one person rubs his stomach and says, MashaAllah, what a wonderful meal. And he gives a loud dakar or burp and he goes. And another person says, now he's got pain in the stomach, he's got this ache and that ache. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made this world a world of means. So we must adopt the means, but it's not necessary that we will see the end result in the fruits. Yes, there is one mean which if a person adopts, then definitely he will see the fruits, because that's the promise that Allah Ta'ala has made in the Quran Sharif. Other means, there's no promise. Yes, you adopt it, if Allah Ta'ala wills, he will fulfill it. But the mean which Allah Ta'ala has promised that you will see results is taqwa. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. That if you adopt taqwa, if you restrain yourself from haram, if you just take this pain of restraining yourself from haram, and that is where the real pain comes. It is easy to sing about Islam being a beautiful mazhab and deen and religion, and it is easy to sing that the Quran Sharif is the book of guidance and hidayat, and it is easy to sing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is khatamun nabiyyin rahmatul alameen and the role model and the guide and the perfect one after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the greatest, all that, it is easy. But when it comes to restraining ourselves from haram, then there we really find ourselves very weak. If we say, read this tasbih, read this wazifa, make this zikr, then Allah Ta'ala will give barakat in your sustenance. If you read this wazifa 10,000 times, then Allah Ta'ala will give you the prettiest of all wives. Then this young person also, who never even entered the masjid, he'll sit down one corner, he'll read it. So the means we have to adopt. So he says, wa antal musta'an. So, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah Ta'ala will definitely find a way out for this person in his difficulties, in his problems, if he restrains himself from haram and he fulfills Allah Ta'ala's ahkam. And Allah will provide for him rizq and sustenance from sources unknown to him. Now this is a promise, it's a Quranic promise, and it cannot be wrong. There's nobody more truthful than Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But we have to regard it also as a means. It's a major means, and istighfar. So nevertheless, what I was explaining is, wa antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh. O Allah, it is ihsan and wajib upon you. It's not wajib on Allah Ta'ala that the moment we do something, he must come to our assistance. But we say, O Allah, we are your servants. Your Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us this dua, and therefore we are begging of you. We are asking you that you give us all that which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for, and protect us from all that he asked for protection from. So Allah, to come to our assistance is now ihsan and wajib on you. Come to our assistance. Listen to our pleas. Listen to our sighs. O Allah, we beg of you, come to our assistance. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And this لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, O Abdullah ibn Masud, when he recited La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, he said, do you know what the meaning of it is? He said, no, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Now imagine, he's a sahabi, his language is Arabic, he understands it so well, and any ordinary person would have also understood the literal meaning of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained to him that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, what it means. La hawla an maasiyatillah illa bi ismatillah. That the person cannot have the power to restrain himself from haram, from sins, except with the protection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with the assistance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That means he has to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that you assist me in staying away. He must not show his pride that I am very strong and very powerful and I can stay away from all haram. He doesn't know in which gutter he may afterwards slip and fall. So he's asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that it is not possible. He's saying, oh Allah, it's not possible without your protection, without your assistance. And also to do the good deeds. وَلَا قُوَّةَ عَلَىٰ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِقُدْرَةِ اللَّهِ. And oh Allah, these good deeds also which I want to do, It is not possible for me to do the good deeds except with your qudrat, with your power and with your assistance. So he says, when this person reads this La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said is a treasure from the treasures of Jannat. He said it's a cure for 99 ailments, one of which is gham and worry and depression and sorrow. But that yaqeen must be there. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when this servant says on the ground, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, then Allah ta'ala addresses the angels and says, Aslama abdi wastaslama. That this servant of mine, he has truly submitted himself now. And he has given up all kinds of inad. He has given up all kinds of rebellion against me. In other words, it's not just lip service, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah ta'ala says, look, my servant is saying that now he has submitted himself totally to me. And he has given up rebellion. And that is our problem, that we are rebelling against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Mana ke maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Ye mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us paalne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Says, I don't deny that there is a little bit of enjoyment and pleasure in sin. That sin that you're committing, at that time you'll find a little bit of pleasure in it. Lekin us palane wale se ye kaisi bakhawat hai. He who is your sustainer, he who is your nourisher, he who in his hands your life lies, he who has blessed you with sight, he who has blessed us with sight, with hearing, with speech, he who has blessed us with our hands and our feet, he who has blessed us with our heart, liver and lungs and kidneys and bladder all functioning. Isn't it rebellion against him that we use all his ni'mats for his disobedience? Ye mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palane wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. So when this person gives up rebellion against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he gives up disobedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also says, aslama abdi wastaslama. And then Allah ta'ala takes over his problems, his pain, his worries, his concern. And Allah Ta'ala finds a way out for him in his difficulties. Allah Ta'ala eases his burdens. Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for him to seek his sustenance. Allah Ta'ala then opens the doors. He is the one in whose hands everything is. But we must never think that we are forced, that we have to do a certain thing. Allah Ta'ala has written it and we have to do it like that. Allah Ta'ala has recorded what we will do with our own intention and willpower. Willfully we will do on a certain occasion, certain thing, certain place, certain time. So Allah Ta'ala has recorded that. He hasn't dragged us and forced us into anything. Therefore the person who is sleeping, then he is not accountable. A little child is not accountable. A madman is not accountable. Why? Because they do not have that willpower. But the people who have willpower, so they are being questioned because of that. Yes, the person did everything that was supposed to be done right. Then if something did not work, then we will say that is taqdeer. I explained the other day also that one person got his young daughter married to a very old person just because he was expecting that this old man, is one leg is already in the grave, so as soon as he gabri gyu, then we can get his wealth, we can get his bank balance. Now they started having a fight. The old man is not going, he's to pulling extra time on this earth. So they began having problems. So the person went to Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi and said, he complained. He says that they are having a lot of problem now, what do I do? He said, but why did you do a stupid thing like this to get your young daughter married to an old man like that? You know there won't be compatibility. Sometimes it's not just fatwa. Yes, fatwa, if somebody has to ask that if you get a 90-year-old man married to a 16-year-old girl, is the nikah valid? Then which mufti will tell you that nikah is not valid? The nikah is valid, but that doesn't mean that because the nikah is valid, therefore you must do that. So many people misunderstand certain masail. Many things it will say it's valid, but it doesn't mean you must do that. So he said, taqdeer. So he got very angry on him. He said, you do a stupid thing, you do a silly thing, and then you blame taqdeer for it. First you must use your intelligence, do that which has to be done right. After that you say taqdeer. So this is a beautiful dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And whenever you don't have much time, then at that time you make this dua. It covers all the duas of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or even when a person is making other duas, then at the end of it he includes this dua. and it covers all the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his entire life. So let us read it one time and conclude for today. And I wish you a happy Eid Mubarak tomorrow, inshallah. And Allah Ta'ala accept your fast and your... Allah Ta'ala accept our tilawat, Allah Ta'ala accept our taraweeh, Allah Ta'ala accept our zikr, Allah Ta'ala accept our du'as. And although we cannot really do justice, we cannot present to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in a beautiful manner any kind of ibadat. We are extremely weak. We know what is the condition of our ibadat. But we tell Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that, oh Allah, we are extremely weak. This is all that we could have brought to you. Ya Allah, now you accept it in accordance with your shan. Because even if we made the best of ibadat, it was not going to increase your glory in any way. Ya Allah, all our weakness and shortcomings and sins, oh Allah, forgive them. So in this way, if we are going to present it, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is going to open the doors of His mercy. He is very forgiving, very, very kind, very tolerant. So let us not spoil now the road ahead. Last night I mentioned that there was one professor or lecturer in law from America, and he was talking about this Muslim personal law, the different stages and processes and that it has to go through. So he was always giving the analogy. He says our game at home is baseball. So he's in this baseball, they have four or five bases. So you go to base one, from there you run to base two, then three, four, and five, or whatever he mentioned. And after that, he said you have a home run. So he was saying that we haven't even passed the first stage. And but in any case, so this is what I say, that we went through the different stages and different bases from the first of Ramadan up till now, and now will come the home run, and it's 11 months to go this home run. So if we have been successful up till here in restraining ourselves from haram and sins and from all kinds of evil, now let us not spoil it. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the yaqeen, Allah Ta'ala give us His muhabbat, give us the muhabbat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and give us the tawfiq of amal. Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wa a'udhu bika من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. It is in that kitab, morning evening duas, you'll find it somewhere there. And I've given you a brief explanation, otherwise there's so much to it. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ